G-minus 20. Petrovich Residence, Denver, Colorado. Arriving in an unfamiliar room of an unfamiliar house, Clark and Emma looked around for a sign of which way to go. They were in a bedroom which didn't look like it saw much use, with Leisha standing between them.
Chip, Clark yelled. We're in here. Leisha brought us.
Waiting for a reply, it momentarily crossed Clark's mind that Chip might not be familiar with Leisha by name. This doubt didn't last for long, though, as he almost immediately remembered how visible Leisha had been in the public eye following his violent killing of an assailant in Buenos Aires. Clark McCarthy's perception of time was currently a mess of confusion, with things that happened just weeks ago feeling like they belonged in another life, while Leisha's initial return with Dan and Tara the previous day felt like it had just happened. A lack of sleep and abundance of new information doubtless contributed to this, along with the unprecedented level of adrenaline currently pumping through his veins, making the present moment the only one he could focus on. This was no bad thing, given the potential importance of what was about to happen. But as the moment of anticipation for Chip's reply stretched longer by the second, Clark began to hope, with every fiber of his being, that Leisha hadn't accidentally flashed them into the wrong house. His own vocal announcement, designed to reduce the chance of any regrettable reaction Chip might otherwise have had to seeing an alien standing unexpectedly before him, could lead to problems if it had been heard by some unsuspecting family or individual. What with Leisha's whereabouts, along with those of Godfrey, Dan, and Tara, currently being the topic of such intense public speculation. Impatient in his curiosity, Clark stepped forward and opened the bedroom door. This revealed an upstairs hallway which he descended without further ado and without even glancing back to see if Emma and Leisha were still with him. They weren't, as it went, but both emerged from the bedroom somewhat uneasily once they heard his footsteps descending the stairs.
Chip, Clark called again. Are you in here, man?
Huh?
A familiar voice replied.
What the?
Clark raised his hands, palms out in a display of peace, as he finally saw the man he hadn't set eyes on for almost a full decade.
Hey, didn't you hear me? Leisha brought me and Emma to help deal with this, quicker than driving.
That thing is here?
Chip asked, unable to hide his initially negative feeling.
That thing is on our side, Clark replied. Now where is this son of a bitch you're holding? Did he have anything on him? A phone? Anything like that?
Tool shed, Chip said. No phone. He was packing. And he had a tranquilizer gun, too.
Clark turned around again to see whether Emma and Leisha had yet decided to follow him all the way. They had, by now, and he saw both making their way down the stairs.
Bring him back in here, he then instructed Chip. It's easier that way.
I have a few questions first,
Chip began in a mildly ironic tone.
I mean, come on. Why is Leisha on Earth? Where's Godfrey? And most of all, what's the story with the intruder you guys came across?
As little time as they had to spare, Clark couldn't deny that these were fair questions and that Chip had a reasonable enough claim to deserve to be looped in.
It's a long story, he said, but Godfrey is laying low in Birchwood. Dan and Tara are on New Kerguelen right now helping the rest of the messengers deal with something, and Leisha can talk to them so he's kind of like a conduit. I'll tell you about our intruder once yours is inside, because it might help to get some info out of him. Have you tried any of that? You know, asking your questions in a certain way?
I wouldn't know where to start, Chip admitted. I was able to tie his hands while his foot was impaled on the fence spike. Then I took his shoe off and stemmed the flow just to make sure he wouldn't bleed out before he spills who he's working for and just what the hell he was doing here.
Clark nodded. Bring him back in here and I'll tell you the rest. I'm not holding out on you there. It's just like I said, there's no point saying everything twice since I'll be making this guy talk anyway.
There was no trying in Clark's statement about making the restrained intruder talk, as everyone noticed. Leisha and Emma also quietly understood that he wanted Chip to bring the man back into the house before everything was on the table, saving the need for Leisha to either teleport into the tool shed or risk being seen by walking out in the open,
as a means of ensuring he wouldn't act out of understandable rage in the meantime. If Chip knew that one white-masked intruder had killed Phil, who was not only his client, but had been a close friend of Chip's father, as Clark knew very well, the partner in crime who Chip was holding would have done well to make it out of the tool shed alive. Chip was no large man, but Clark recalled his fighting spirit and short temper from their school days, and anyone who was willing to confront an armed intruder while retaining the wherewithal to safely detain him was not to be underestimated.
"This is Emma, by the way," Clark suddenly stated, echoes of Henry's voice filling his head with angry lines about the importance of politeness. "Emma, Chip, and this is Leisha. Leisha, Chip."
"Hey," Chip replied, sending a smile Emma's way but struggling to look Leisha in the eye out of something between fear and a more general discomfort at his literally alien presence. Chip then turned towards the wide glass door at the other side of the living room and walked outside into the darkness of his backyard. Within a minute or so, he was visible again, frog marching the unmasked criminal into the house.
"Fool,"
the man seemed to say, his taped mouth unable to fully enunciate or express his four-letter reaction to the trio before him. He wasn't sure who he should be more scared of, Leisha or Clark. Standing at Clark's side, Emma saw his sternum and even his shoulders rising with quick and deep breaths. She took hold of his hand.
"Be smart," she said.
Clark continued to suck in air like a vacuum cleaner and spit it out like a steam engine, fighting what felt like a losing battle against his own rage. The man had no immediately noteworthy physical features and looked to be around 40 years old. His head was shaven to the bone and his stubble was rough in a purposeful-looking kind of way. He was the definition of nondescript, and almost certainly not by accident.
"Let him speak," Clark said.
Needing no second request, Chip ripped the tape from the man's mouth.
"I'll ask once," Clark whispered, "and then I'll accelerate. Who were you working for?"
The man shook his head. Clark's heart quickened as he lunged forward.
"Accelerate it is."